Everybody, if you have your Bibles with you and you'd like to read with me, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1, these are the words of Paul to the local church in Corinth, this first letter to them. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas or Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some are fallen asleep. God will bless the reading of his precious word. I am from St. John, New Brunswick. St. John's a very foggy city, very foggy. I read about a man named Robert Fawless, who was out walking one night in the thick fog many years ago. He was a music teacher, piano teacher, and as he approached his house after his walk out back home now, he hears the piano note, a low bass, way down low. That's all he heard. And he thought to himself, you know, that's rather strange. My daughter, who was becoming a rather accomplished pianist, he said, she's tinkering with the piano. And he thought, that's rather strange, you know. She's just hitting this note low down in the bass. But as he approached the house, he heard more notes. And then he realized that she was playing the full piece. But it was only this one note, low down in the bass, that was penetrating the fog, and he could hear. Well, Robert Fawless had a very inventive mind, and so what he did, he put the steam whistle with the same note tone, and he invented the fog horn. So the fog horn, interestingly enough, was invented in that very foggy city, St. John. The reason I say that is because in the Bible, there is only one note, one message from the Bible that is able to penetrate the fog of our minds. The fog of this world, the spiritual fog, the darkness. There's only one message, just one. There are no religions in the Bible. I like to tell people that. Don't confuse what I'm saying to you with religion. The Jewish religion was the only religion recognized by God, and it came to an end when Christ died on the cross and was buried and rose again and ascended into heaven. There are none in the Bible. The message of the Bible, that one note that's able to penetrate your mind this morning, if perhaps you're here and you're still in the fog and the darkness of your sins and you're not saved and you don't even know where you're going or what life's all about, it's this note, this gospel message this morning. I trust God will bless you and that this message will penetrate to the fog of your mind, open your eyes of understanding, and you'll see your need of Christ. Because if you don't see your need of Christ, then you'll never come to Christ, will you? You must see your need. So may God bless you this morning as we consider this gospel. Paul said, I declare unto you the gospel, towards the end of the book. A declaration is made by Paul to the saints that are in Corinth. when he went there to Corinth, they're Gentiles. I don't even know if they even heard of Jesus Christ. And he had no Bible. How's that? He just went there. This mighty Apostle Paul. He went to Athens, all these places, and he stood and he preached the gospel. Such is the power of the gospel. And they're saying, who is this man? What's he talking about? And they listened and they understood. They recognized that it was not the voice of Paul at all. It was the voice of God coming from his mouth. They recognized that and they listened. And as they listened, this message of salvation penetrated their minds. Many, many, many were saved in the city of Corinth. And he's writing to them now. So what he's telling us, them and us today, in chapter 15, the declaration, I declare, brethren, I declare unto you, he calls them brethren because they're saved now. They obeyed the gospel. Hope you understand, this message you're hearing this morning is to be obeyed. You must obey the gospel. Obey, repent, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't obey the gospel, there's no hope for you. And we are reluctant to obey God. We are a rebellious people. We have to understand what we are, what our problem is. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. That's what he said. To make known, to explain. Now, the word preached, there are several words in the New Testament translated preach. And some are different than others. It's in the Greek. You look them up. And this word means a joyful message. The gospel message is a joyful message, a divine glad message of salvation. Salvation. To bring someone into a relation with it, with salvation. And the word gospel, it means good message, good news. Always in a special sense, it is the promise of salvation, the actual fulfillment of the promise of salvation, from whence we get our word saved from. Saved. I'm saved. Salvation. Throughout the Bible, that is what life is all about, is being saved by the grace of God and having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a powerful message. Simple. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. That's where we get our English word dynamite from. Dunamis in the Greek. The gospel message, this very simple message right here, I just read it, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, who puts their faith and trust in the promise of God and in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Galatians 1, you know, if anybody, as eloquent as they may be, or educated as they may be, they present to you any other gospel than the one that I preached unto you, even if an angel came down from heaven and preached another gospel than I preached, this one right here, Paul said, let him be accursed. And again I say, let him be accursed. A double curse on the head of anybody who's preaching another gospel today. Or any time since he spoke those words. There's only one gospel, sacred, blessed message of God. Christ died for our sins. That is the gospel. Salvation, saved. I was 30 years old when I was asked by a young man if I was saved. I had never heard the word saved in the biblical context. And I thought of drowning, saved from a fire, whatever, you know. I didn't know what he was talking about. Am I saved? He explained it to me, and I'm glad he did. That was 37 years ago. Saved from my sin. I said, what are you talking about, saved from my sin? He explained it to me. I'm in my sin right now as I stand talking to you. He said, Wade, you're in your sin. You need to be saved from your sin, out of sin, and into Christ, or there's absolutely no hope for you. Put it out of your mind, Wade. No hope for you ever to be in the Father's house with the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't like those words. So what are you saying to me? I always thought I was a good man. God likes me, and I'm not a bad man at all. I didn't do all these terrible things I see on TV in the news or read about in the newspaper. I mean, I'm not in penitentiary. I'm a pretty nice guy, and I think God likes me. God has respect unto me, and you're telling me that he does not. Is that what you're telling me? That I'm a sinner, and he's telling me he's sure of heaven. I didn't like this man at all, my wife's brother. I didn't like him. I didn't like his message either. But you know, I knew it was the truth. I had a ring to it, the truth. And that's what you're hearing this morning. You're hearing the truth. This message you're hearing this morning, understand, is able to save your soul for all eternity. It's able to change your life completely. Brand new man, brand new woman, if you obey the gospel. This simple message of salvation. You can have it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you like the person you are. That's a shame if you do. Really. If you're not born again, saved in God's family, and you're living in la-la land, right? Let's pretend there's no God, no heaven. This is it. This is life down here, and I'm going to enjoy life to the full and pretend a life of, let's pretend when I die, it's all over. I'm not going anywhere. Or maybe I'll find it after I die. I'll talk to God. Whatever I live for now, and I like myself the way I am. Thank you very much. That's pretty sad. When I was spoken to, God knows when we're ready to be saved. I don't believe I was ready before. I was a very proud guy. I was. I wasn't ready. But God had humbled me, and I was now ready to hear this message, you see. I didn't like the way it was. I'm not sure if I mentioned this young man, I think a couple of years ago in Summerside. He's from B.C., I'm not sure if his name was Keith or Derek, one or the other. But anyway, he's visiting somebody here in Charlottetown. Maybe a girlfriend, I don't know. But he's from B.C. He's here for 1 week. Somebody told him about the gospel messages going forth in Summerside from Sunday to Friday. He came up on Sunday night. Somebody said he should go. So he went up. And he left after the meeting with tears. And Brother Rob Parkerson took him outside and chatted with him. And then he brought him in to see me after everybody had left, and I looked at him. I thought, you know, I didn't know what to say, really. So I just said to him, you know, if you'd like to talk to me, I'd be happy to talk to you. I don't want to put any pressure on anybody, you see. And so they left. Rob drove him down here to Charlottetown. On Wednesday night, he came out again. And I see him sitting there. I'm preaching the gospel, same message. This message here has never changed. Understand that. This is the same message that Paul preached, Peter preached, John preached, all through this 2,000 years plus. It's this message right here. Christ died for our sins. That's it, and I need to be saved. So I preached the gospel. As soon as the meeting's over, he came back, and he met me at the back of the room, and he had tears in his eyes again, and I could discern. And I said, you want to talk to me? Yes? He said, yes, I would. So we went into the room there, and I closed the door, and I pulled up a chair. He sat down. And I'm going to get a chair for me. And then he said something. He spoke to me. The words I'll never forget. He said, I don't like myself very much. How's that? And as I'm pulling my chair over, I'm thinking to myself, I think I'm talking to a young man who's not far from the kingdom of God. He doesn't like himself very much. It's a shame to see all these people in the world, and they like themselves just the way they are, living in the dark. They don't know where they're going. Their life has no meaning, no purpose, nothing. Just enjoy myself. I bring pleasure to me, and life goes on, you see? And that's all that I do. How sad is that? And I like myself the way I am. I thank God he dealt with me, and I got to the point in my life where I did not like the man in the mirror anymore. I didn't like the man I saw, and I wanted to be a new man, and that's what the gospel is. It's making new men and new women from this message of salvation. Those who respond to it, obey it, want to be changed, God will change you. You'll be a brand new person. Yes, you will. Yeah, you won't just be happy anymore. You'll have joy in your soul day after day, every day, joy. It doesn't depend on what's happening in your life anymore. And you don't need anybody to have joy in your heart. God's nobody will touch your joy. Nobody, nothing will touch the joy and the peace in your heart and the love I give you and the power in your life. I give this all to you. I change you. You're a brand new person. And you know where you're going. How's that? You know where you're going. I've been telling people that for 37 years. I like to tell them, you know what? I am as sure of heaven as though I was already there. I'm that sure, no doubt in my mind, I'm going to heaven when I die. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and down in Guyana, I think I did a few times down there, but I had no fear in my heart whatsoever, none, not a speck of fear, because I knew. I know where I'm going. I know. There's a big difference, isn't there, between saying, well, I think I'm going, or I might be going, I hope I'm going. How about I know that heaven is my home, absent from my body and present with the Lord. You can have that through the gospel. What is salvation? Salvation, that's what he's talking about here. The message of salvation. The gospel is salvation, to be saved. 105 times the word is in the New Testament. The mystery of life is no more. All your fears are gone. You don't fear anybody. Proverbs says the righteous, the God's people, we are as bold as a lion. We walk through this life without fear of anybody or anything or circumstances. Nothing do we fear. We have no fear. Perfect love casts out fear. I have none. That's the gospel. That's the power of this blessed gospel. Purpose to my life. Purpose to my life now. I'm living my life for God. I'm living my life for the glory of God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm living my life. What did he say? I do always those things that please the Father. That was the purpose of his life. I please my Father. And we, what do we say before I'm saved? Huh? I do always those things. If you're not saved, you think about this one. I do always those things that please me. That's what I do. From the time I get out of bed until I fall asleep at night, I make my own plans in life. Thank you very much. No God for me. Don't need the Lord as my shepherd. I live my life for me. That's it. I please me. You go on pleasing you, you'll have one disappointed, miserable life. I'll tell you that right now. You will not enjoy life one bit. Ups and downs, failures, faults, and you won't like yourself as life goes on. If you seek to live a life pleasing yourself, nobody can please themselves. Nobody. You can't please yourself. And people think, if I get what I want, I'll be happy. Actually, no, you won't. I can tell you that from experience. No, you won't be happy. You will not. You're hearing the truth this morning. Hope you'll examine your life now and think about that, where you're going. Life goes by so fast. I see you young people here. I could, yesterday I was your age. Is that? I know what it's like, you know, to be young. But I never heard this message. I wish I had have, but I probably would have rejected it, knowing me. But I hope you won't. I think probably many of you heard this message before. Maybe you think you'll hear it again. Do you? You think you'll hear it again next week? Is that what you think? What if God speaks to your heart this morning? What do you think? If God speaks to your heart and you know he's calling you, you know God is calling you. I'll say this to you. Don't you take that lightly now. You think about that. Don't take that lightly. Do you think he'll speak to you again? You think so? Will you ever feel in your heart, God is calling me, out of sin, into him, he's calling me. I can feel God calling me. Don't take that lightly or for granted. He'll call you again. He may never speak to you again. Understand the solemnity of preaching the gospel. You've got to make a decision this morning, you know. You have to make a decision. These men and women in Corinth, they made a decision. They did. Paul said to them, he said, I delivered unto you this message. The word deliver is to hand over to somebody this message. What are you going to do with it? What will you do with Jesus Christ? What will you do with this man? He's not reigned over you in your life yet. You've kept him at arm's length in your life, and you know you have. He's not reigning in your life. You are reigning in your life. You know that. So Paul says, I deliver this message to you. Now, what will you do with it? And he says about these ones, the gospel which I preached unto you, ye have received. Ye have received it. You see, he called them brethren. You're like me now. You're God's child. You received it. That's to take hold of, to receive from another what is given, to take near to oneself, to receive in charge what's given to you. Now this morning, God is presenting to you a love gift. It's called salvation, and it's in His Son, Jesus Christ. You need your sins forgiven. He spoke very plainly and clearly, you know. He said what He meant, and He meant what He said. And He said, now, if you die in your sins, and we're all born in sin, we sin. You die in your sins, whither I go, you can't come. What do you think? You're going to go to heaven anyway? He already said, you're not coming. Understand, He says, I died for you. On the 28th day of May, 2017, you sat in a gospel meeting, and you heard the plain, simple gospel, and you left the meeting without me. Died in your sins. Now you stand before me, and you think I'm going to let you into heaven. Understand, He said, you'll be judged by the Bible. The very word you reject and don't believe, He said, I will judge you by the Bible, by the Word of God. He said, I told you. You heard it said to you. I said, if you die in your sins, whither I go, the Father's house, you cannot come. You can't come. What do you think you're going to say? You'll say nothing. You'll hang your head. You didn't want to know Him. You didn't want to know Him. How sad, you know. People want to go through life not knowing this wonderful Savior. They won't trust Him. You can trust Him. He's trustworthy. Save your soul and keep you joyful every day of your life. Huh? When I awake, I'm still with Thee, O God. When I awake and Your compassions fail not, Your love for me new every morning. That's what He offers you, but you have to be convicted about your sin. You must be convicted about your sin. Salvation. Now, the very first word of the gospel is deity. It's Christ. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ. Isn't that interesting? Christ. The gospel is Christ, deity. He was God manifested in the flesh. He said, I did not come, I'm not from here. Understand me, He said, I'm in a body like your body, but I'm not from here. I am from above. I'm from above. When He stood on the ship sinking and He commanded the wind and sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased and the sea became a great calm, those disciples fell down at His feet and they said, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and sea obey Him. The word literally means, from what country is this man? He's not from this earth. What kind of man is this? The wind obeys Him? The sea obeys Him? Disease flees from Him? He heals everybody of every affliction. He heals them all. He rises people dead. 4 days, Lazarus, come forth, and He comes forth. Who was this man? He showed them who He was. I am Christ. I am your Messiah. I am the King of the Jews. And they rejected Him. And that's what people are doing today. The Word was made flesh, a man, and He dwelt among us. Great is the mystery of godliness. And you know what was unique about Him? He was so unlike us, He never sinned. Actually, He could not sin. He could not sin because He was God manifested in the flesh, and He could not sin. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Peter said He did no sin. Paul said He knew no sin. And John, who had his head on his bosom often, hearing the very heartbeat of God, he said, in Him is no sin. He was sinless. We can't even relate to that, can we? That's all we know is sin. We're sinners. There's an island a couple hundred miles off of Honolulu. It's called Molokai Island. Beautiful island, one of the most beautiful down there. All the fruits grow there, you know, the mangoes and the bananas and the coconuts and you name it. The beach is white sand, the beautiful soft blue sea. It's a beautiful, beautiful island. But, you know, what's unique about Molokai Island is that anybody who goes there never returns. And the reason is, I'm not sure about today, but for hundreds and hundreds of years, those who had leprosy, as soon as it was detected, were sent to Molokai Island. Everybody on the island went there to die. They all had leprosy, no cure for leprosy, highly contagious. There was a missionary named Joseph de Venster living in Honolulu, preaching the gospel, and he heard about Molokai Island, and he wondered, have they ever heard the gospel? I wonder if those poor men and women and children ever heard this message of salvation. God convicted him. I want you to go, Joseph, I want you to go. And so he said goodbye to his friends. I'm not sure if he had family or not. And he went. He got down on a rowboat, and he's going to shore. And he's very healthy. He's a healthy man. And all the lepers, you know, your fingers fall off, your leg, your limbs, your ears, you die. They're all on the shore watching. Who is this man? He was the very first man who ever went to Molokai Island who never had leprosy. He was so unique and different, they couldn't believe that. They said, why have you come? He came in love. That's why he came. He came in love. He loved those people with God's love. And he wanted them to hear this message. You are so blessed this morning, you have no idea. You have no idea how blessed you are to be hearing this morning. They never heard it before. I was 30 years old before I heard it. This is it. This message is it. The answer to life's secret is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you're hearing it this morning. Now you know what life's all about. It's getting to Christ, personal relationship with Christ. He brought them the gospel. How unique was he? He'd labored 12 years. Of course, he got leprosy and he died. And his body lies in the sands of Molokai Island. Jesus Christ came down from heaven for the very same reason, you see, to save us, to give us the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. He came down in love. That's why he came down. Unique he was. He was very unique. He was the perfect man, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he could die for our sins. That's why he could take our place. Why did all those sacrifices in the Old Testament have to be perfect? They couldn't have a missing ear of the lamb or the oxen. Even they couldn't be walking oddly or something. They'd examine that Passover lamb for 4 days to make sure it's a perfect lamb. See, perfect, no blemish, no spot. Even the very first sacrifice in the Bible, Abel, it says he brought, the word is the best of his flock. He brought the best lamb he had from his flock to sacrifice to God. Way back then. All pointing forward to the one who without spot and without blemish, our Lord Jesus Christ, was the Lamb by whose blood we are redeemed and washed. That's why it had to be perfect, because the one who was going to come would be perfect. The declaration of the gospel, deity and our deeds. His death for our deeds. Isn't that something? Christ died. Christ died, the very first two words of the gospel. Why did he die? For our deeds, for our sins, he died. Our sins separate us from God, Isaiah 59. Christ came to break down that wall between sinful man and a holy God. Job lamented. You know what he said? Oh, he said, if there was only a man who could come and lay his hand on a sinful people and a holy God and bring us together. Well, God did just that. He sent down the God-man, Jesus Christ, to do just that, to bring us together, that I might turn from my sin and be saved. No strength, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us, died for our sins. Please don't be thinking you're good enough for heaven, okay? Don't be thinking you're good enough for heaven, that God has respect unto you. Oh, I know you. I know you. You're a good person. You never did anything really bad in your life. Understand, God says, I am no respecter of persons. I'm not. Doesn't matter to me. You were brought up in a Christian home, maybe. And you read your Bible all the time, and you prayed, and all these things you did. But you never surrendered your life to me. You never surrendered your life to me. Fully, completely, I surrender. I stop, Lord, fighting against you. And I do want you to reign over me. I want to obey you. Reign over me, Lord. You never did that. You never changed your mind. He said, I'm going to say to you, depart from me. Right now he's saying, come unto me, come unto me. I love you. I'll receive you just as you are. And that day is depart from me. And I'll tell you why. I never knew you. I don't even know who you are. You never came to me for salvation. You liked your life just the way it was. You liked you just the way you were. And you just somehow justified your sin in life. And you went through your life. And you got old. And you got old, you see. You're going to get old, just like me. I was 68 two weeks ago. I'm getting old. That's all right. I know you're closer to heaven for me. I got a very bright future ahead of me. And as all of us do in this room, we're Christians. Yes, we know where we're going. So that's why we're such a happy people, you see. You can become one of those. But I have to understand, the sin is the problem. Be it known unto you, therefore, that through this man, only through this man, is preached unto you forgiveness of sins, only through Christ, no other way. By him all that believe, trust him with all their heart, you are justified from all things by believing on him. But you have to be convicted about your sin. I can't convict you about your sin, but the Spirit of God can. He can make you realize what you are, that you've been running away from God all your life, and you've not surrendered to him. You have not surrendered to God. You're still in charge of your life. You're still in control of your life. And all your plans, you make them, you don't consult God. He's not your shepherd. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. He doesn't lead me at all. He doesn't lead me because he's not my shepherd, because he's not my Savior, and he can't be. Sometimes as Christians, we wonder why things happen, you know, especially me as an evangelist. I'm always talking to people and passing tracts out and so on, and I pray. I say, Lord, you know, I don't know who's seeking you. I don't know, but you know. And I ask him that he might bring somebody into my life today who's seeking you. I don't know who. So I just pass tracts with everybody. I don't know who's seeking you, but God does. Things happen in our lives, and I missed the flight in 2000, no, last year. I was in Kenya last year. I missed my flight. It was down in the airport down in Washington, D.C. And the customs, crazy, you know. I'm standing there. I'm looking like 1,000 people. And I looked at my flight and the time. I said, I'm not going to make my flight from Washington to Montreal and back. And I'm to Fredericton, New Brunswick. And it was a long wait. I hadn't slept in 2 days. It wasn't fun. At any rate, I finally get through customs, and I ran the terminal, the gate, and I'm running. I thought I should be dead. I should have a heart attack. I ran so hard. And I just get there, and the lady looked at me. She said, oh, were you on this flight? I thought I was supposed to be. 5 minutes, she said, just 5 minutes. So when's the next flight? I think I had 7 hours to kill in that airport. Of course, I missed the flight in Montreal. That's gone. I got to sleep on the floor in Montreal. It's crazy, you know. Anyway, I got home. I got from Friday. I hadn't slept since Monday night. But anyhow, I wondered why. Why did this happen, Lord? And I'm coming back from Kenya. I'm preaching in penitentiaries and so on. And this happens to me. What an ending this is. And I wondered why. So after a while, I went into this restaurant right on the edge of the hall where everybody walks off their planes. And the restaurant was empty except for me. And this older couple came and sat down. Of all the tables in that place, they sat down right across from me. Right across from me. And I'm looking at them. I'd say they're in their maybe 70s, mid-70s. And they looked at each other like they loved each other, you know. I thought, what a lovely sight is that now, you know. Two old people, and they still love each other. You know, I thought, wow, isn't that sweet? The way she looked at him, and he looked at her, and he was gentle with her, you know. I said, well. So I had to ask them, you know. I said, tell me. I said, how long have you two been married? And they both looked at each other, looked at me, and put their heads down. I'm sort of waiting, like, so he spoke, finally he spoke. He said, well, he said, I'm a widower. She's been married twice before. And we have been living for the last 8 years in sin. What? Living in sin. I thought, I never heard anybody say that before. He actually recognized the fact that he was living in sin. He knew what he was. I looked at him in amazement. And she spoke, and she said, "Ah, he thinks living together is a joke." I said, "No." I said, "Madam, no, he does not think it's a joke. No. He knows what he's doing, and he knows what he is. I'll tell you something else. I believe this man is not far from the kingdom of God. He's convicted about his sin." Yeah, and I gave them the Gospel of John, some tracts to read. Now, why all that happened, I don't know, but maybe it was just to talk to them. I have no idea. Maybe I'll see them in heaven, I don't know. But that's the point I got to get to in my life. I'm convicted about my sin. Sin is the problem. It just mars and ruins everybody's lives. Sin. So God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us on behalf of us. We know the story. I know you know the story. God laid the iniquity of us all on his Son, judged his Son in the darkness, turned his face away from him, the darling of his bosom, how he loved his Son and did it all for us, for you and I. You see, it's the love of the truth. That is what men and women are rejecting. 2 Thessalonians 2, the love of the truth. This message is a message of love. And to reject the message is to reject the very love of God for me, for you. You see what you're doing, how serious, how solemn that is. You don't want God's love. You want to go it alone in this life because it looks so nice and appealing and so on. He made his Son to be sin for us. Made him to be sin. I don't even know what that means. Sounds terrible, doesn't it? This holy, righteous one was actually made to be sin on the cross that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And it was a finished work. I mean, he said, "It is finished." What words are they now? For all of you who are laboring and heavy laden, you know, you don't know what life is all about. And how do I get right with God, you know? And he's saying, "Listen, now it's all done. The darkness is gone. I was judged for you." We have no idea how he suffered for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "It is finished. It's all done. It's completed now. It's all done." Bowed his head, dismissed his spirit. How do we die? Well, our heads are last, right? Every man wants to live. You know, like Queen Elizabeth II said, "She hath my kingdom for a moment of life." Man will do anything for a little, another day or two. Huh? And they struggle and hang on till finally they die and their head drops. Notice the order on the cross. He bowed his head, put his head in a resting position and dismissed his spirit. Because nobody took his life from him. Nobody. He laid it down of himself. And he was judged for our sins. I'm either in my sins or I'm in Christ. I'm not sure if they have them today, but years ago, they probably do, prairie fires. I've seen pictures of them. They're a terrifying sight, you know, because the grass is long in a flat, flat prairie. And if there's a fire and the wind's blowing, this blaze starts like sometimes 3, 4, 5 miles wide, and it's just roaring with the wind blowing. And all the animals are running before it, you know. Antelope and these rabbits and gophers and snakes are going, everything in front of the fire because they're going to die if the fire hits them. And this man was traveling with his family in a wagon. This is years ago. And they all look and they see this glow coming, this glow in the distance. It's getting closer and they realize what it is. They heard about these prairie fires, and if you get caught in one of those, you die. So his children, he had three children, they were afraid, terrified. His wife, looking anxiously at him, he said, "Not to worry, not to worry." He got out of the wagon, and he had a match, and he lit the grass on fire beside the wagon. And the wind's blowing, and the grass catches fire, and it burns, and it burns, and it burns, and now it takes off, and then the grass is all black. It's all burned. He pulls the wagon over on the burnt grass, brings his family over on the burnt grass. He said, "We're safe now." They looked at him, "We're safe. We can see it getting closer and closer and closer." And it did get closer and closer and closer. Yes, it did. But when it came to the area of grass, it was black. It didn't, what is there to burn? There's nothing to burn. Nothing. It just stopped. All around it, the fire kept on going, but not on that spot. You see where they were standing? They were standing where the fire had already been. The fire had been there already. And when I'm in Christ, I'm standing where the fire of God's judgment has already been. There's no judgment for me. There is no judgment for me because I am in Christ. And there's no judgment. The fire of God's judgment poured down from heaven on his Son. I am now in his Son. There is no judgment for my sins. They're gone. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So this morning, would you consider, do consider this lovely, wonderful Savior who loves you so. And I trust that maybe the Holy Spirit might convict somebody here this morning, if you're not saved, that you might get down to business with God and examine yourself. Understand what you are and be honest with God. Tell God what you are. You'll never be saved if you get really honest with God. I'm a sinner. Lord, that's all I've been all my life, is a rebellious sinner. I've known the truth, but I've kept you at arm's length in my life. But I tell you now, God, I don't want my sin anymore. I don't want my sin anymore. You want your sin, you can have your sin. But there'll be hell in your future. There'll be no heaven for you. You can have your sin. What a price to pay. You be honest with God. You tell him, I don't want my sin anymore. I don't want my sin anymore. I want to live a righteous life. I want to be a new woman, a new man. I want Christ, your child, Lord. And I'll tell you something else. I'm not worthy of heaven. I've been thinking I was. I understand. Lord, I'm not worthy of heaven. I'm worthy of hell. That's where I belong, Lord. I'm just a sinner, but I'm all done. I now turn my life over to you. That's called repentance toward God. I've changed my mind now, and I want to live my life as a Christian, which means a Christ one. I belong to Christ now. That's repentance toward God, and then faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Happiest day in your life, most memorable day in a man or woman's life, is the day they made that decision and stepped out of their sins, gave the reins of their life over to God, said, now, God, thy will be done. No more is it my will be done. Thy will be done. Then you'll have found the secret of being happy and joyful in this life. It's being in subjection to God. Thy will be done. You can rest now. He's my shepherd. Do the sheep worry? Do you see worried sheep? They're not worried. Their heads are down. They're drinking the water. They're eating the grass. Because the shepherd's in control of my life. And Christ will be your shepherd in control of your life. May God bless you this morning. May you come. May you make that decision. Come just as you are. How he loves you so. We'll pray. Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we draw near to thee, Father, and thank thee for the wonderful Savior. How we thank you. This is a love story, Father. What a marvelous love story of your Son. And you gave the Son of your love, Father, to die. You left him in the lurch at Calvary in the darkness, Father, because you love sinners. He loves sinners, Father. He even loves us. And so we thank you for this wonderful story. And as we've already in your hearing said, Father, it is to be obeyed. What shall the end be that obey not the gospel of God? We know the end, Father, a tragic end to anyone who will not obey. Repent and believe. So, Father, we pray your Holy Spirit might use thy word, the mighty gospel, Father.